Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine atmosphere, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
All right, eyes front, everyone.
Yes.
And up here, this is where their eyes
yeah.
are.
Eyes front and center.
Our panel of women in horror. Down the line, we have Tiffany Shepis, Sarah French, Amy Lynn Best, and Linnea Quigley. Please welcome them.
That means clap.
Because I am not a woman in horror, and I don't feel comfortable trying to tell them how to run their panel, I am basically going to look to you, the audience, to speak to each one of these talented and amazing women about things that you want to know. So audience questions are definitely encouraged. If you would like to throw any questions you have out for the whole panel, for one, not for us, but for them. Yes.
This is going well.
It is.
You're fascinated by Linnea and the microphone over here.
I'm testing it. It does work.
All right. Nice. So since apparently everyone has a little bit of stage fright asking questions, I will start.
Nobody? Mario.
Come on, come up with a question.
Yeah. I mean, you
stand up and introduce yourself.
Yes, you have.
Mario.
And dance for us, bitch.
Mario, tell everyone where you're from.
Did you come with a paper? He has a paper.
Where's mom and grandma, first of all?
List of questions.
They're coming tomorrow? Okay. All right.
Are you
we have
tomorrow?
To find out
a question for Mario. This is question
for us. I'm already failing at crowd control.
Okay. All right, Mario.
Let's hear it.
Mario, ask your question, you'll have the test.
I never thought I could control you.
That's a smart move there, Michael.
All right, Mario, you had a question, or so we forced you.
Or so you coerced me.
Yeah, please.
We'll get you
a question. No, I'll just repeat it. That's what a moderator
Mario.
Does.
Okay.
So just
okay.
I have to think of a question.
Okay. Mario's question.
All right, Dave, you got a question while Mario's thinking.
All right, well, here, Mario, I'll buy you time. I know that each of you has new projects. Or things that you're working on right now. I know that you just got done shooting with David Dakotel.
Yes.
And Razor Days, you just directed a short film. Sarah, I know, is working on things. Yeah, no, I'm just going down the line. So I just want to hear about each person's, talk about what you're working on currently or what you have coming up.
Me? Oh, okay.
Well, go and tell us, girl.
All right. So I'm going to do this movie in my room tonight, starring 3 out of 4 of the women on this panel. And they don't know which one of the 3 out of 4 I'm talking about.
Can we get Ben?
It's going to be great. Kind of like Hoodoo for Voodoo great. what am I working on? I just did a comedy, which was not really all that funny or interesting, in Virginia. Called The Maladjusted, but perhaps with fancy posts and editing, it's gonna be a laugh a minute. And
that's true. There's a comedy filter you can run.
This was the one that I was
talking about earlier.
And sure,
a car riding down the street.
Yeah. No.
Oh, that's no, that's
like the love bug.
No, that was. It's a different one.
That was a different one. Yeah. No, that's Masterpiece Theater, which is another classic, amazing, starring me and Kane Hodder and Joe Netter. And Joe Netter wrote Masterpiece Theater. Joe, stand up so everyone can see you.
Yeah!
So I have that and some really cool news, which is kind of cool news, like exclusively cool news to the horror front. My husband is writing Night of the Demon sequel.
Woo!
So, we really are going to convince Miss Linnea to be in it. And this time around, I'm throwing the party. So any of you that saw the remake and were kind of fucking mad, now we're redeeming ourselves.
That's big news.
Big news. So we got that. Yes. And Sarah.
I have a film coming up called Hollow Point, which Tiffany is in as well.
Oh, I'm in that too. Yes. Hollow Point.
Yes.
Hollow
Point. Werewolf film, and we're hoping to possibly film that in Pittsburgh here. Actually, in a month, so really looking forward to that. As long as it doesn't start snowing or anything,
no.
I'll just shoot it somewhere else. So.
Post. You get rid of snow. just like making comedy.
Well, they made it for Batman here a couple months ago, so they just did the opposite.
That's right.
Suck it all up.
Exactly. What are you doing?
We just finished a feature a couple months ago called Razor Days. It's in post right now, speaking of post. And then tomorrow we're premiering a 2-minute stupid, silly little thing that we did called, well, I'm not going to say the title because it kind of gives everything away. But it's a zombie film returning to our roots in the zombie genre.
How do we find this no-name title on the program?
It's not. It's part of the Bastards of Horror shorts.
Sweet.
Yeah, so you'll have to ask Tim.
So you have to watch all of them.
I have no freaking clue when it's going to be shown. I have none whatsoever.
Nice. Surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know.
That's good. You're always busy.
Yeah, I think she is.
Usually, yeah.
Going, writing, everything.
Yeah.
Acting.
Sleeping.
Yeah. Yes.
Getting new kittens.
Yes, she just got some new kittens.
Menstruating,
that were
sneezing.
And needed homes, and she has them at her house now. So she's worried a little bit about them. So
I like how Linnea is giving my
Oh.
Okay, your turn.
Viagra. Okay.
Oh gosh, I'm not doing much at all. I'm having a documentary come out in October. Okay, it's called High Heels: The Rise and Fall of the B Movie Queen. I think that's how you say it. It's a really hard title to say, but in October it'll be out in theaters, in some theaters, and on TV. And then I've got a movie I did with David Dakota, he was mentioning, which is really fun with Michelle Brink and I, called 1313 Cougar Cult. And there's a great documentary also out in October called More Brains, which is all this lost footage and new interviews with everybody from Return of the Living Dead. And Joe Hollow and Tiffany, you're in it too, on Disciples, right?
Yeah. Another one.
Right around the corner, we're going to be doing that.
Forget about this stuff.
That's going to be fun. Joe Hollow is an excellent director. I'm doing a rock video at the end of this month, and it's with Victor Bonacore, who is brilliant. And it's called, the band's name is Sexcrement. They're from Boston, about to be signed. And the band's song I'm going to be doing is Trucker Bomb. And for those who don't know what a trucker bomb is, truckers do meth. And
no, not all of them, disclaimer.
The guys hang out that are on meth at truck stops and get these bottles and swig away to get high. So that'll be an interesting video, rock video to do. I added some suggestions, we'll see what happens. And oh, I'm so exhausted. That's all I have to say right now, I think.
Nice. All right. This back to our
question. Jason Paul Collins?
I had one, yeah.
Yes, okay. Jason Paul Collins. Right.
Okay. We have a question from Mario down in front.
Mario, we asked Mario first.
Any other questions besides
Mario's
question? Right. Did you lose it? Mike Watts.
My question is for Tiffany.
Oh, God. Shut up, then, Mario.
I don't answer questions from your husband.
I thought you were really good in the Frankenstein syndrome, and I was wondering how you attested that.
Frankenstein syndrome is a phenomenon.
Yes, and you were good in it. That was the surprising part.
It's so rare.
Right.
It's so rare for me to actually be good. Just kind of like, it's rare.
You were clothed,
and
I could understand what you were saying.
Rare gem. Wait a minute.
Oh, Mama Cat's getting mad. The Frankenstein syndrome, if you guys haven't seen it, it is pretty dope. And it's very different than a lot of, like crazy, normal, bad movies. It's actually kind of interesting and thought-provoking. And I play a molecular biologist, and no, I can't spell it. It has Ed Lauder. Who doesn't love Ed Lauder from all the crazy 80s, right?
Yeah,
I love Ed Lauder. And Louis Mandalore from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is, the not as famous Mandalore as Costas, whatever that guy's name is. It's showing tomorrow. So if you guys have not seen it, go see it.
It's showing here.
It's showing here tomorrow. Okay. But you know what? Forget that. You can just buy it at my table and take it home with you. Which is better.
Take it home.
Or do both.
You.
Yeah.
Do both.
Have her sign it and take it home.
Take it home.
So Linnea, you did mention that you were in the documentary about Scream Queens.
Yes.
That Jason Paul Collin is doing.
Jason Paul Collin, yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the first time you said, I remember you saying that you were ever referred to as a Scream Queen was in Entertainment Weekly. So this is actually going to be a question for all of you.
Uh-huh.
Do you recall the first time the phrase was used in association with you? And I know that not all women in horror like the term Scream Queen, so I'm curious from each of your perspective, if this is a title you like, when it was first associated with you, and what you think of that legacy. And I'll let you go first.
Okay, I love the term because I loved horror films, and I thought it was a great term. It's like, it was just like started, and all of a sudden like People Magazine, Premiere, all these magazines were hitting me up, we were doing photo shoots, and it was being publicized, and there were all these girls at that point that were like, oh, I don't do those kind of movies, I don't do that, I'm in real movies, and all this kind of junk, and now you get all the girls that say, oh, I'm a Scream Queen, and we're like, what'd you do? I posed in my backyard with some blood on me. And so it's like become popular now to be a Scream Queen. And also it was like a no-no to be topless, but now it's okay. You know, we had to break a lot of barriers of things that were no-nos in Hollywood, but we got to where we got, and we got names for it, and we got a good name, Scream Queens.
Wow. The first time I was referred to as it was actually an article that Jules Shepard wrote about me in Time Out New York. And, I mean, I think the few of you that I know in here, so I was just a hardcore horror fan, you know, and I had no interest in really being an actor. I never really even thought about acting. It was a fluke, you know. I cut school, went to an audition, got a part in Romeo and Juliet, which was like awesome cult hit, and then got embraced by fans because of it. And, I was super thrilled. Are you kidding? It was like to be associated with the likes of Linnea and Brink and Michelle Bauer and people like that back then, and Debbie Rochon, you know, I was absolutely floored and thrilled. As of lately, and I think you guys, if you go to enough conventions, you can attest to it, you know, there's every bitch on the planet with a table set up, and like you just said, pictures in her backyard, and one movie she did in her basement, you know, and you're like, wow, where can I find this? Well, right here, you know.
In my home video.
All right, in my house. And so the term, you know, is really just kind of thrown around.
It is.
Just loosely, you know, whereas, you know, I thought it was a pretty big honor to be labeled something like that, and now it's like, really? You know, like, you know, there's a few conventions coming up, and they're like, will you be on the Scream Queen panel? We really want it, you know, to center on you, and we're going to be with who? And I was like, who are these girls? Like, and I never heard of them in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, never. Not like, oh, I might have heard of that person, or I might have seen that movie. I mean, these are names that it's kind of ridiculous at this point, you know?
Yeah, it's just generic now.
It's
now
just,
yeah, instead of saying, like, woman, horror, actress, or anything.
Or just,
stupid.
I'm trying to be an actress.
Trying to be an actress. Everybody's a Scream Queen. I remember going to a convention years ago where somebody had a poster printed up where she called herself Scream Queen, blah, 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 and she had not even done a movie. She was trying to get into movies, and I'm like, well, then why do you have a title? I mean, Scream Queen was, to me, anyway, any, you know, I know there's a lot of contention over, you know, whether or not it was Linnea or Faye Ray or Jamie Lee Curtis. Anyone you go with, I don't care which definition you take, there was still, it was titled as Scream Queen. It was somebody that was up here. It wasn't, you know, I'm going to go shoot a movie in the lobby and I want these Scream Queens to be in it, you know. It's generic.
Speaking of, I need a few Scream Queens in my lobby video. In a few minutes. Are you free?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because Jessica
has
been never
too busy. Oh, God. Now we're naming names.
I'll do it.
I know.
Another asshole.
I gotta know later.
The opinions expressed during this panel are not
are strictly
are
the ones of everybody's.
Right? Like,
if you know what's good for you.
Mike's like, I'm terrible.
Yeah, I thought of a question.
Mario.
Okay. Sarah,
yes.
What was the first feature film you did?
Killer Biker Chicks.
Huh?
Yep. Oh, I love that.
The question?
I think the guy in the back disagrees with you.
You're right back there.
Another one.
I don't know.
You I don't know. I heard a little.
Well, sir, if you can't keep it down, you're going to have to
leave.
Is that global inertia screwing up our camera?
Can you talk about what her thoughts were of these new ones?
Yeah. You didn't get to talk about the new ones, your thoughts.
Well, honestly.
You were getting upset, so.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's loosely thrown around now, and it doesn't mean as much as it used to in the 80s. In the 90s, so, you know, unfortunately, anybody these days can be a scream queen and call themselves that, but, you know, there's still going to be always those original ones that, you know, mean more than what they do today.
Well, it used to be something that fans coined you as, not yeah. just, oh, right. you do. I have my own website, and so I'm going to call myself this, yeah. you know, and it's just, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And then the worst thing is, like, I've noticed in the acting business, the girls will show up and they'll always have a diva mentality and they don't know their lines. Yep. They don't really know about acting. It's really gotten bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially the ones that just, it's their first film.
Yeah.
Complete divas. Like, I want this, I want that, you know.
Just did a movie.
No kidding.
And she was there, self-proclaimed scream queen, and we happened to get locked out.
Actually, JC always wanted to make the what was
Sapphic,
the convention
Sapphic Sisters.
Sapphic Sisters, the Scream Queen movie where yep. everybody's a Scream Queen.
Everyone's a Scream Queen. Yeah, no, but these were actual things this woman said
throughout
the shoot.
That's
funny. And then this bitch had the nerve. In my, so this is stuff these type of girls do because, like, you know.
Shut up.
These type of girls do, you know, because they come in there with this inflated ego, whether it be because of the three guys that bought their picture at a con or whatever it was, you know, or because somebody gives them a table at a show, you know, and now this ego is this big, and she had the nerve to come into my shot. She's dead in the movie at this point. Okay? This doesn't even pertain to her character at all. She's dead in the movie already, right? She comes over and getting ready to do my close-up of the scene, and she goes, when you hit, you should do it like this, not like this.
Oh, oh my
so
god.
So did you show her then how you
should hit? Yeah, she did like this. I mean,
she's fallen down all over the world.
Yeah. Lots of videos on YouTube.
But, you know, it's stuff like that, that, like, you know, it takes many movies to learn set etiquette, and it's pretty obvious when somebody comes in and does something like that.
That's
you know, just nasty. It's just nasty. And then she, like, you know, I was like, you know, what you could do is, like, you could just get the fuck out of my shot and you could do whatever you want on your own. Oh, wait, you're already dead in this movie. I'm so sorry. You know, and she, fair enough. But this is also the same girl that, like, you know, I knocked on her door to give her a converter, you know, because I'm nice like that, you know, her
she's
blew up. And she opened her door naked.
What?
And I go, like, Mia, cover your ears a second. I'm like, I'm not here to fuck you.
I'm here to give you a converter.
That's
Sarah,
fine.
You should cover yours.
Oh, I didn't know Sarah was in here too. Sorry, Sarah. So, and I'm like, you know, do you need a converter?
My gosh, she's not Italian.
No!
No, she's barely human.
So this is why I get so angry about these, you know, quote-unquote, very famous scream.
I'd like to open the panel to other horrible trash talk. This would be wonderful.
So other than Mike Watt's need for trash talk, do we have any audience questions for any of the women?
Because
on
we will trash talk. I mean, but
I got a question.
Okay.
Oh, sure. You ruined the momentum.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm gonna hit you with actual questions instead of with banter. For the whole panel, you've just gotten your dream project. What is it? Who's directing?
Mine would be a remake. Mindy Clark's role in Return of the Living Dead 3.
Nice.
That would be cool.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Anyone?
Oh, we're doing remakes?
You can do your dream project, whatever you want to do.
I want to be Linda Hamilton in The Terminator, but a different movie without Arnold and stuff. Arnold's been bad. And, you know, I just have Johnny Depp or something. So that's what I'd like to do.
Johnny Depp's The Terminator?
Yeah.
Sarah Connor?
Yeah.
I want to work with John Carpenter as my director. I think that'd be awesome. As far as role, maybe somewhere I'm kicking ass in. I don't know.
Killer Viper Chicks.
Hey, but yeah.
But
yeah.
Good.
I would want to be Michael in Grease 2 and just kind of switch it around. I want to be in a musical and ride a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. I want to be in Moulin Rouge.
No. Rocky Horror.
Now that we've started with this.
I did Rocky Horror for way too long. No, thank you. No.
Got a question, Mia?
Sure. This was good.
Yeah, it was good.
There's a question back there in the Steelers shirt. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch the game on Sunday, or are you going to be here?
Undoubtedly,
there may have been some moments in your careers where you were on set doing something and you thought, "What am I doing?" What would be the top of the top for you guys as far as those moments where you were sitting there going, "What am I doing?"
I did a movie. Not going to tell you the name. I'm not going to tell you that it was called She Wolf Rising.
I heard a little bit about that.
And the director, I would notice really weird things. Like, you know, he'd show up, really promptly at the same time every day, even when, you know, call was a different time, you know. And he'd just do really odd things, and we'd always have to leave. Like, we'd wrap, right at 5 o'clock, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's really strange, you know. Like, our hours are so bizarre on the shoot. And, then I saw him get into his car, and he started changing clothes.
What?
And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Like, did he get bloody? Like, no, he didn't have any blood in it. I'm watching him from, behind a bush, you know? I was being all creeper. Yeah, I was totally creeper, but I'm like, what's this dude doing? Well, it turns out, he didn't tell his wife he was making a movie. Okay?
What?
It's an 18-day shoot. So he would change back into his insurance salesman outfit and then go home. And then when we had night shoots, we'd have a guest director.
Oh my god, that's really
weird. It was super bizarre. Like,
how embarrassing.
Just bizarre and weird. And I remember just being like, dude, what are you going to do when this movie comes out?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
He'll kill his wife.
So there were moments on that where it was just so bizarre of a situation. I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, like when you hide it. And it wasn't like he was making some weird sex film, you know?
No.
Yeah, a horror movie about a she-wolf. Which, ironically, we never shot any she-wolves, or wolves for that matter, and we had to go back because who knew? You need a she-wolf.
Does it have to be an old barn?
It's Schindler's List without a Schindler.
So yeah, that was a fun one.
Wow. Easy.
Mine, I would say, on the set, I filmed in Vegas in the desert, and there's a population of 50 people. So you had a bar, and then you had a gas station. And that was it in that town.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of the desert in between these mountains or whatever, and we were the director was, we soon realized he was kind of a psycho. We're filming and we did one thing wrong, there were some people talking in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And he flipped. He's like, he goes, earmuffs, kids. He goes, I'm gonna fucking kill all of you. He goes, I'm gonna go find all your family. I'm gonna kill each one of them if you don't shut the fuck up.
What?
It was the scariest thing.
It was
like
name.
It was like one of my
movie.
First, bigger films. And I'm just like, is this how all sets are? You know, it kind of scared me because I was like, I didn't know what to do. You know, I was like,
did you leave?
I couldn't. We didn't have cars or anything. You know, it was just the crew and the cast. And, you know, it was just, you know, I was like, wow, if I can handle this, I can handle anything.
The worst one I did was something that wasn't too far away. I was in Ohio for a guy that apparently was supposed to die within like a year. It was like
we
knew him through friends of friends, and it was like a last wish, dying wish. He wanted to do a movie. Okay, whatever. And the first couple of girls that were supposed to be in this, which should have told me something, dropped out. And I was like, you know, it was pretty early. It was years ago, so it wasn't like, you know.
Just blood to madam.
Yeah. So I saw the script, and I was like, wow, this is really freaking horrible. I mean, some of the things I have to say in this are just disgusting. But, you know, it's a last dying wish. So, you know, he's like, okay, well, you know, I'll pay for the gas, and, you know, we'll put you up at so-and-so, or so-and-so hotel, and okay, well, whatever. And we get up there, and he's like, yeah, I don't got the gas money, and, you know, I don't have money for a hotel, and
I'm not dying.
Yeah, you know, he was, but it was like, we get there, everybody else is local, everybody else is right there, we drive up, he wasn't there yet because of whatever medical thing, which, you know, that's fine, that's great. We did the scenes, and it was horrible, and whatever. Okay.
Come on, do your favorite line from that.
My line was, it's not that horrible, but it is. It's horrible if you know what I'm talking
about. Kids, cover your mom's ears.
Yeah, it's thank God I met you because my vibrator was starting to wear out. And I was like, this is fun. And this was one of my like finger lines, and I was like, okay.
Oh, man.
And, you know, the guy's friends were going down to the corner to get crackers because they didn't buy any food. Somebody else brought pizza. It was that, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So go home, come back. Shot the sex scene where at first, because, you know, I was like the fourth or fifth person he asked to do this role, he's like, yeah, it's complete nudity. I'm like, no. Okay, it's topless. No. Okay, you're in the, no. Listen, I'm going to show up in parka. If you want me in it, you'll deal with it. You know, I said I'd get a camisole or something. That's fine. Okay, that's great. We shoot the scene. He wanted it so ridiculously, not graphic as in like, X graphic, but just like really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's me and this guy that I kind of knew, and he was like, okay, listen, you get out of the shot, I'll be on top of pillows, and then every once in a while we can just shoot your face under mine. And the guy that I had to do the scene with felt worse than I did about it. So I was like, okay. And it was this other guy, the director, and his friend that were shooting all of a sudden they started shooting behind the scenes stuff, you know, and all of a sudden it was, they needed behind the scenes, but no, you're not shooting behind the scenes. Let's get out of here. So they come in, we shoot this, and I'm like, okay, it's done. We go home, and it was right around the time, like, I had broken my ankle right around this time, too. I didn't even tell you that. I'd broken my ankle. He emails me and says, we need you to come up again, and I want to reshoot that sex scene, but I want your husband and this guy's wife not to be in the house because I think they made you a little uncomfortable.
Oh, like, oh, yeah.
And finally, at that point, I was like, I don't care. No, I'm not coming up. You deal with it. If you want to recast, I don't care. I'm not redoing this crap.
Wow.
And the guy's still alive, so this is like a long time ago. And apparently the movie is out. He did recast it, and
no, he never shot it.
No, he recast it.
Yeah, but they didn't shoot anything. They flew all those folks to Florida or someplace weird. Yeah, and because they sent me money, but it wasn't my full deposit, and I was like, yeah, well, I'm not getting.
Wait, I don't think you're talking about the same thing.
I was talking about Blood to Madam.
No.
That guy was dying too.
No, that's
there's
another
a lot of dying.
No, that's another one. No,
producer.
That guy contacted me after this other guy, and I had already decided no more Make-A-Wish movies. Yeah, no, this was the worst, and I was like, I went home, and I was like, no, that's it. I'm not doing any more favors, and that's it. I've known the person for 20 years. That's it.
Oh,
and I, you know, get paid up front.
Yes.
And you
at
know
least
their
gas
name
money.
And
they make
yep.
movies.
At least so. Freaking gas.
Yeah. Exactly.
Definitely learn things while you're on set, you know, what to do and what not to do. And
well, and you feel bad for some of these people because literally, like, you know, I was told his dying wish is to make a movie.
Oh.
And he'll be dead within a year. Well, hey, that's really sad. Let's go do that.
Gotta make it quick.
That's my attitude now.
The money first. Yeah,
yeah.
You're doing the money first, okay. So
yes.
So
I
just
that's
pick
honestly
one.
What I learned from Tom Savini. He told me once, listen, you don't
You don't pen in. You can pencil things in, but don't ever actually start promoting something until you get at least the flight or half of the money up front.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
People do screw you. I mean, you went through it. I remember that Fright Vision convention.
I can't even remember what happened.
I remember that one. Where he didn't, you pay for your own flight, you and Brink, and, or...
And then he was arrested before he could pay you.
He skipped out on the hotel.
I lucked out. I didn't have to pay my flight, but I warned everybody.
Yeah.
But he didn't give me per diem and stuff.
He didn't pay for half the people. I'll give it to you.
And I was left in an airport for 3 hours. God. And missed all of Friday.
Don't you guys all want to be involved in this business?
All day long.
Well, that leaves you, Linnea, with your...
Okay, God, I got to top all this.
Yeah, just one. Just one.
Okay, when I first started out, I was naive. I'm still pretty naive, but I was really naive. And
it was 5 years
ago. Yeah, 5 years ago. Right. Now, this director asked me to do, it was like... one of these artsy shorts, and you know, where I'm like on a checkerboard running around and things. And then the next one was I was in a helicopter. I mean, way up there in Angeles Crest. And you know, there's no doors on the helicopter. You feel like you're gonna fall out. And the helicopter driver is almost hitting the power wires, and I'm freaking out. And the next shot, they go into the private section of Burbank Airport. And they land, and they want me naked running. This is where the president and all these important people land. Running naked with a AK-47 across the...
Oh, my God.
Now, I would have been shot
Best
and killed
terror.
So
terror
fast.
Terrorist attack
oh, you
ever.
They didn't have, like, permits or anything?
They didn't have permits.
They have permits, I'm sorry.
And I was so... The one thing kicked in was survival mode, and I didn't do that. I mean, because I like, okay, I'll do that. But I thought, no, there's something really wrong about this. And running naked in this zone would just, I'd just be like dead. They probably wanted that.
Al-Qaeda,
and I had to chase the
Take
guy
note.
For my check.
Naked with an AK-47?
That
was before Al-Qaeda was invented.
Well, oh, they've been around for years.
So,
thank you.
Further audience questions?
Positive stuff.
So, yes. Best moment on a set. We'll reverse that. Like, what's the best moment that you've ever had?
And tell about the time you had to run naked with an AK-47.
Yeah. There was one time I was in a helicopter and then they landed and I got to run naked with an AK.
Oh my God, you know the guy.
Some chick refused to do it and I got to do it.
Oh God.
Best moment on set. I don't know, but I remember being really, really super excited about getting to work with Brad Dourif on The Hazing.
Yeah,
oh, and
yeah,
then knowing that I get to kill him and then become him. And so I remember he wanted to do this English accent. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, dude. Like, seriously, I got to become you. And he's like, don't worry, we'll rehearse. And he came to my house every day and taught me an English accent. And not in a creepy, weirdo way, like, I want to come to your house and rehearse. Like, straight up come to my house and rehearse with Brad Dourif. And
he's
I was like,
nice.
Yes.
The cute guy, right?
What's that?
The cute guy.
No,
Brad Dourif?
All I know you
But he's, about. Yes, he's really cute.
He's
Brad
cute.
Dourif.
He's cute. Really talented.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
I'm
on
Lost,
and that's, like, the Someone only else. Reason we started watching it again is because
he was on Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was Andrew.
He was on Deadwood.
That was Andrew Dibhoff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brad Dourif. Anyway, Brad Dourif. You guys know Brad Dourif.
Yes, I know.
He's brilliant. No,
yes.
he's
pretty dope. So that was kind of a pretty awesome experience, was to be able to work with him. And like I said, being a fan growing up of the genre, I was like, no way, he's in my fucking house.
That's funny about rehearsing scenes. I in Savage Streets, like one of the guys wanted to rehearse my coma scene with me. And I think it's going to be more realistic if you just see me there in bandages and in a coma. You know, he's like, yeah, you're right.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Wow. I'm sorry, I was laughing.
Yeah, the hardest moment on a set besides, I'm going to kill all of you.
Mine would be meeting my boyfriend on my very first film, Pajama Party Massacre.
Wow.
At the time, it was my very first film, you know, I was very, you know, I didn't know anything about it, and I was, you know, I'm big into the horror genre, I love it, and I was like, I really wanted to do a movie, you know, and I got hooked up with NFTS, and Joe wrote the film, Jam Party Massacre. And we became good friends after that, and, you know, lo and behold, 2 years later, we became a couple.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
That's
really
cute.
Cool.
How long have you been together now, though?
2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's a good story.
Well?
Yeah, I'm thinking. Actually, what you were saying, Brad Dourif, when I was thinking Remember Divoff, one of the best times I was ever on a set, and it wasn't even my movie, but it's a funny story, is that Andrew Divoff, and I'm thinking of the right one this time.
Yes.
We were doing a set visit on the set of The Rage that he did in Ohio, which isn't that far from where we live. And we're sitting there talking with Andrew Divoff for a while, and, you know, he's really nice and really personable, and he's telling us all these stories, and then he's telling us about the story where he's in the middle of this town in Crestline, Ohio. If anybody's familiar, it's like in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. And he was bored. He was off for a couple of days, so he decided to travel around with this one guy who was like a satellite dish network.
He was a dish network installation.
Installer. So he's traveling around with this guy in the truck. And all I could think is, could you imagine being in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, being a huge horror fan, and all of a sudden the Wishmaster comes to your door to install your satellite dish.
Oh, that's so weird. Yes.
That was awesome. So,
that's
that was
weird.
A great moment. Listening to him talk.
Oh, my God.
As far as mine, though, yeah. Would be probably on the last shoot where it was like the first time that I've ever done just acting on one of our movies instead of doing like acting and everything else, where it was a really long day, everything changed, and it was like such into the character that it was almost taken over, which sounds stupid, but you know what I mean? Like you're just thinking of how your character would react instead of actually thinking about how your character reacts. You're just reacting. And we're in this scene that was supposed to be a fight scene, and then the fight scene got scrapped because of the rain and the mud and everything, and we were afraid that if we tried the choreographed scene, we were gonna hurt each other, because we were like sticking in the mud. There was so much mud. But it was just such an intense scene that I almost punched Debbie Rochon.
Oh, oh God, that sounds intense.
But she's like grabbing onto me, and you know, in the scene she was supposed to grab me, but she kept just grabbing me, and I just kept like flicking her off, and she kept grabbing me, and she like clenched her hand, and that was not scripted at all, and I like clenched mine, and we're both ready to go at it. And then we were just like looking at each other, and I think we both realized in the back of our heads somewhere, I don't know where, that maybe we shouldn't punch each other for real, because that might not work very well for the scene.
Especially if you have to do a few takes.
Yeah, but it was great. It was like the first time that I've ever felt just be able to like let go and not worry about anything, where the camera was. We didn't worry about any of that. We just went and just like we're just grabbing at each other.
In the moment.
Punched each other, yeah. So yeah, punching Debbie Rochon almost was probably my favorite moment.
Oh my God!
You might want to rephrase that since I can't.
Yeah, no, almost punching Debbie Rochon was my
acting.
And we did such a actually we did rehearse such a good like fake punch, and this was kind of cool too that we just rehearsed it so much, and we had it down so well that I was probably about 10 feet away from her for the fake punch, and she reacted so perfectly that the guy behind the camera actually jumped because he thought I had.
That's cool.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, we all thought you laid her out, actually.
Grazie.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Favorite moment?
I can't even think of anything because everything's been, not everything's been great. You know, puppies and kittens and all.
Dancing naked on a tombstone.
But yeah, dancing naked on a tombstone was a high. I mean, I got high from the sulfur and everything that was coming up. I was really high from that, but it was also fun, and it was so different, and also putting the lipstick through my breast was a lot of fun too, because it was so out of the ordinary, and it's a great place to keep lipstick. I just had a lot of fun, really high moments. When you do good, when you get the audition, you know, it's the best feeling when you nail something and you're going to work on it and you're working on it and you're done with it, then you get sad and the whole cycle starts again. So it's just fun. And, but being inducted to the Horror Hall of Fame was great too. I just a lot of things I've enjoyed.
Any other questions? Any? Well, all of the stories have been a lot of fun. I'm gonna ask a serious one for you now. Amy and I were talking earlier about how Hollywood often is somewhat unfair to women, and although the horror genre has celebrated females, I'm curious, in your opinion, what the greatest challenge is for women in horror still today, and that's one for all of you.
I don't know. I kind of come from the other side where I don't think there's that many. I think there's challenges in the industry in general, and it's hard for dudes to get jobs. Just like it's hard for women to get jobs. You know, and there's hard for the pretty boy to get a job, and he's gonna have to wait till he grows up and gets older to get the more interesting stuff. And it's the same with women. Now, certainly, there's not as many intermediate roles for women out there. You know, it's usually like the hot young teen going to a party, you know, and then the old crazy hag, you know, nurse, evil fucking warden, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of whole middle of the road stuff. But I just haven't experienced the whole, you know, sexist, you know, it's a man's world thing, because I mean, there's so many females coming to the top now and stuff. I mean, look at Bobby Sue Luther, who was in Night of the Demons remake. You know, she's a big fucking producer now, produced, you know, all these ginormous kids films. So I think if you're involved and you're in it and you're good, you're gonna keep working. And I think the minute you keep hearing the whole, God, it's just so hard for women, it's like, well, you know what, make better shit, maybe. You know, you might actually get ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but that's just my personal.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it just depends on how you look at it.
It's hard. It's a hard industry.
It
no
is.
What.
It's hard for anybody, and you just got to keep working at it and never give up. I mean, not everyone's going to make it, but you just got to keep trying.
Sorry, I was waiting for you to finish. Well, I comment at it as like the fan and the producer too, where. Not necessarily getting the roles, but I remember going on message boards like way back in the day, and anytime you'd voice a woman opinion, or anytime you'd voice an opinion, it was either you're stupid because you're a woman, or good little girl, you have a nice little opinion. Or like going to the convention, you know, going to the conventions when you started going to them, when I started going to them, and there were like, you know, the women that are in here cut that in half, and that was the women, and everybody was like, good little thing. So. I like to see all of the women, not necessarily in horror, but that like horror, you know, which is really nice to see. But I like to be of the Deborah Hill thing. I remember reading something where she said, it's going to be nice when you don't have this woman won an Academy Award, when this person wins an Academy Award, or, you know, you don't have to have women in horror, it's just people in horror, which will be kind of nice, not having to separate everything, but...
Yeah, they never say men in horror.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't.
Yeah,
they don't say that.
Is there a men in horror panel on the schedule at all?
There is now.
Yeah, is there a men in horror calendar?
It's kind of nice sometimes coming at it where, you know, hey, I can get a little bit more recognition because I'm a woman, because you have separate film festivals, or you have a separate this or separate that. That actually I kind of like, so you can, you know.
There's an advantage to it.
Yeah, there's an advantage.
Look at those Soska sisters or whatever,
yeah,
those chicks.
Jenny, I mean, Sylvia, yeah.
You know, nobody cares about, you know.
I'm sure there's tons of movies out there. Well, I think they're Ted Hooker and Trump. I mean, that's just an awesome title right there.
Oh, yeah, no.
But, I mean, there's so many movies, I think, that were done by women that probably wouldn't be anything at all if they weren't women, if it was just being a guy doing it, just because it's like, oh, look. And it did start to be, oh, that's a cute little girl doing it, but I think now it's a little beyond that, I hope, anyway. I don't know about you guys, but I hope that.
Yeah, they have production companies now, all kinds of things.
They have to write the boat.
And like you said, it's like there's more women in coming to the conventions now.
Mm-hmm.
You used to never see them.
Yeah.
And they're dressing up, dressing sexy, not afraid of that. And it's that's cool.
And a lot of times they're the ones that are buying the DVDs and the pictures
yeah.
and stuff like that.
I think a lot of that, though, is the movies are changing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you got to give that Jessica Biel or whatever her name is. What's her name? Jessica
Biel?
The Chainsaw
yeah.
Massacre chick? The,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because badass, strong character, you know?
Well,
and
you kind of have to go back. I don't know. When was Scream? I mean,
oh yeah,
true.
Campbell, but you
yeah.
know, I mean, any
yeah.
any of these movies as of, you know, the last 10, 15 years where women are playing such stronger roles and, you know, their boyfriend's
yeah.
dead in the corner, you know,
yeah.
and they're fighting for their life and it's not just, oh, save me.
Yeah.
Oh, my tooth fell out.
Yeah.
You know?
which
absolutely has its place on my table in the back of the vendor hall.
like the Blair Witch Project, right?
But, you know, I think with movies changing and empowering women, you know, you're going to see a lot
yeah.
cooler stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so
there was a formula, though, that everybody had to go by back when they were shooting on film, which I really miss shooting on. But it was like they had to get bloods, boobs, and, you know, this whole sexual thing, and a lot of blood and gore. And it was just the menu they had and what they went by to sell films. And you had to deliver that to the people that were putting the movies out.
And
or
you had
they
to have
touch it.
Certain minutes, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, by minute 13, there had to be one nipple, you know, and by and it's she's
and then
totally
death,
right.
And
yeah.
they had to go by that. They're not going by that now as much when people are doing their own. They have them, you know, can get around it if they have something clever and good and people
sure.
want to watch.
When it's also good or bad with the advent of social networking and the internet, I mean,
mm-hmm.
everything's getting out there. So if it doesn't have that formula, but it's still good and people like it, it's going to get out there
mm-hmm.
and do stuff. Whereas back when it had the formulas,
oh,
it
yeah.
was you had no way of getting things out there, except if the distributor took it, and the distributor wouldn't take it unless it was ABCD.
Yes, yes, that was like a have to, or you wouldn't get your movie sold.
All right, well, the clock has ticked to
really?
The
ticked.
Final moment. Yes.
All right.
Oh,
what's
17?
Yeah.
So unless there are any final
yeah.
questions,
oh,
so we have like, yes, 10 minutes.
Oh, 10 minutes. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought we were only supposed to be an hour and a half hour. That's all I thought.
Oh,
okay.
Is it? I have a question.
Anybody know how
oh,
our panel?
Okay. You have
a question. I have a question. How many of you like to be zombies or like zombies? Okay. How many of you like demons? Okay. Who thinks they are the best zombie in the world? I mean, that can do a really
stand
good
up,
job.
David. You can do it.
Dave, let's see what you got.
Is he
come
hiding?
On, David. Stand up.
David.
Come on, David.
David, stand up.
David, you are not going
to David,
hear
you have
the
to
end
at least stand up now.
Seriously, not going to hear the end.
Woo!
David!
Woo!
We want you to do a zombie walk toward us.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can.
You can.
Yes, I can.
He's got zombie fright.
Pretend like I roofied you. Like I might.
Are you really
later.
Too scared?
Yeah.
Okay, then you have to do it.
Me?
Yes.
That's what
okay.
you get for laughing at
do
someone.
Do a zombie.
Come from
zombie
down
walk.
Here and
huh?
come
walk.
At us as a zombie.
You are in Pittsburgh. You have to do the zombie.
But do we have
Pittsburgh? Do the zombie walk.
We have zombie lane, guys.
I apologize, my zombie knee.
Oh, right. Oh my God! Look, his knee's come undone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the foot.
Do we have a demon that was
someone? You've got
a
demon? I saw some demon.
Jen?
Who's a demon?
No.
Heather, you're a mom of an infant. You could be a demon.
You gotta have a woman demon now.
Yeah. No. Jen, where's Jen?
Jen's back there.
Jen's
she
here.
She hid from me already.
Come on.
Oh.
All right, Jen, you are no longer AA number three. I'm sorry.
Okay, what guy is a good demon?
Oh, come on. If I did it, somebody's got it.
Come on. You did the whole walk and everything. You just have to do a couple grunts and...
Viggo Mortensen as Satan was the best demon I ever saw.
Come on, Ben.
I think I stole my answer.
Come on, Ben.
Inertia.
Come on, Ben. You're going to be a writer and director, so come on.
Ben, do it.
Show us what you got.
Okay.
You sounded like my Uncle Morty.
Well, maybe your Uncle Morty's a demon.
The zombie did great. Ben, you did good, too.
Now, does anyone want to trip and fall and pretend to be me while their boobs are flying out?
See, that's a hard thing to do, and men don't appreciate
They do not appreciate it.
Mario?
Anybody want to take a shower in the middle of the room and have to do this strategic...
When there's absolutely no reason to take a shower?
Exactly. Oh, no, I'm being chased by a killer.
An abominable... Oh, wait, there's a Sasquatch across the street and a weird peeping Tom in a wheelchair that happens to be Matt McCoy. I'm going to take a shower.
And then the phone rings and you're naked and you have to get it. Yeah, might be Bobby.
And I want to know, okay, since we're in the women panel, and there are other women, how many women out there, and I'm not saying every once in a while, but how many women out there spend as much time soaping themselves up as they do in the movies?
Exactly.
I do.
You do?
I like to be clean. I don't know about you dirty girls.
Do you like pinch your nipples while you're getting the shower?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I dance.
And you dance, yeah.
And you make sure you get your light hair out. You light yourself.
I also have a smoke machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, practice makes perfect.
Yeah. All right, maybe you guys should try.
Well, in the early 80s.
Maybe I'll do that.
In the early 80s, between you and Brink, you were the cleanest people in Hollywood.
Oh,
I know.
That's
you guys were all... No, I mean,
not
like,
talking like any
all of the 80s.
Yeah,
I
we did a lot of showers and baths. Yes.
I know every time we watch an 80s movie now, we look for the background for the blonde and the brunette to see where
my
Linnea
God, yes.
No, and then the light brown hair, because you get the you always get the trifecta and you're always crossing.
Yeah, you guys
did
a lot of shower scenes.
Well, they had to rinse off from all those hot tub scenes.
Yeah, that's it.
I've never done a hot tub movie.
Scream Queen hot tub?
I wasn't in it. I was in your hot tub.
That's right.
You were. That was the only one.
Really? You didn't do any of the hot tub?
Never did a hot tub party.
Really?
They used clips from my movies.
Yeah.
I didn't
see that.
It
shows how much of my life.
Wow.
I wasn't in the
Linnea
movie.
Linnea and I
well,
were in a hot
I
tub
believe
together.
There's a hot tub at this hotel, Linnea.
Is it hot tub? Yes.
I've got this new phone.
Oh, you got to show me how the application
did it take
works.
There you go. Linnea and I got kicked out of a hot tub.
Wow.
Yeah. Shooting lesbians.
Was around, huh? No, the stupid hotel decided to book a horror convention. Actually, this was a Fright Vision that we were doing.
Yes.
The horror convention and the Baptist convention.
Hey,
literally
they weren't
we
Baptists.
We were shooting
boarding
a documentary. Oh. And it really was a documentary about women in horror.
There you go.
And it was about how a lot of people perceive at that time, that a lot of people thought that if you were in horror movies, you did porn.
Yeah.
That was just
God,
the automatic,
yes.
like, person on the street response, oh, you're in B horror movies and you must do porn.
Yes.
And we were sitting in this hot tub and we were just sitting there on a, like, talking. I think I was in a full bathing suit. You were in jeans with your feet in. I mean, it was like most of the people were completely dressed. We're sitting on the side of the hot tub and we got kicked out because apparently a couple of the women in the swimming pool, which is right across there, said that we were doing porn.
Oh my God.
Well, you should have seen that.
Perfect.
Wow. What about the guy who refused to get out?
That woman is now Michelle Bachman.
No, no, no. There was a guy in the hot tub while we were shooting that refused to get out of the hot tub, and his wife kept coming over going, get out of the tub. No!
I'm not bad.
She's
probably the one that got you guys kicked out.
I think so, yeah. I think it's because her husband
there
would leave
porn
the hot
there.
Tub. And
trunks got a
women,
little tight.
I can't remember who it was, like, completely stripped down to the least amount that we could wear.
Oh,
and
God.
And just in the pool and just went swimming for the rest of the
night. Great.
I was just so mad.
The wife was
and
so mad.
And we're, like, jumping up
night
and
night
down
night.
In front of the guy.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
It was really childish and petty, but it made me feel good.
Well, oh, yeah. I like being childless.
Childless?
That.
Any final questions from
you?
We
have like 6 minutes left.
Yeah. Got 5 minutes, so make your question count. Anyone?
Favorite death scene?
It doesn't have to be yours.
Oh, good. It doesn't have to be mine. Ooh. My favorite death scene in a movie, which bothered me a lot, was when I always forget the name of these movies. They're done in the other countries. When the guy gets paid to go to the country and, like,
Hostile.
Oh. And go after a girl. Those scenes where they mutilate them and kill them, I hate those. Those just bother me.
Yeah, like the torture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
That's my horrible death scene, thinking of some guy coming at you.
My favorite death scene was Linnea's in Silent Night, Deadly Night. Oh, I love that. I remember seeing that when I was a kid going, "This is I want to do this."
I love the fact that they hung you there for 3 days.
It was fun.
I loved it. It was great. You're like hanging on the antlers, and it's like, and they just left you there.
I know. And it's so hard to have antlers coming out of you and not breathe.
I could imagine.
That's true.
Like, oh.
That's my favorite death
scene. Oh, God.
Mine was, I'd say, I guess, turning into a zombie. I was in a movie. Sitting down talking to someone, and a zombie comes up and bites my head, and just blood starts squirting everywhere, and you know, I die, and then turn into a zombie. So
oh,
I thought
that
was pretty sweet.
Oh my god.
Favorite death scene, and not it's not even bloody or gory. Well, it's bloody and gory, but anybody watch Game of Thrones?
No,
dude, you guys gotta watch the show. It has the season end, right?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, no. Because I got them all bootleg, and I didn't know if it ended or not. I didn't want to tell you guys if you didn't know, but they kill the fucking king, and it's so cool, and they behead him, and his poor kid's got to watch, and it's just awful.
His kid?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's so fucked up. It's just, it's fantastic. I'm in love with that show, and if I have a kid, I'm going to name it Khaleesi, because it's a queen, and she's so hot, and it's like, she's a fucking dragon, and it's... Man, like, you can't top that shit. Like, oh, man, I got a beamer. I got a fucking dragon, bitch.
That sounds
dragon.
Good.
But as of mine, my death scene in Abominable, where I get folded backwards naked through a window by a Bigfoot. But, and they talked about me on the E! Channel and called me Horigami. Oh, God.
Now, was
Horigami.
It Horigami or Horigami?
I don't know.
I would find out.
I would call E. Back in 2003.
Did you call me a whore or was it a horror?
It's hard to say horror sometimes.
Horror. Yeah.
It's really easy to say horror.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes say I do horror films and they're like, horror films?
Yeah, I get that all the time
horror.
Too. I'm like, yeah, I do a lot of horror films.
I do
so
scary
like, movies.
Films?
Then you have
yes.
to say scary films.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I talked to a guy on the plane last night coming here. He was a Hindu guy and his name was Melon. And, oh, really? And like that, we had that conversation for about 5 minutes. Horror films? I'm like, horror films? Horror films?
So you
like, horror films. I like scary movies, spooky ones. Oh, spooky. Oh.
Not this good as
horror. Like, dude's getting excited there for a minute, huh?
Yeah. Go take a shower in the corner.
All right. Well, this is actually the true end of the panel. So unless there are any final questions.
We have 3 minutes, Art.
Art.
I want to celebrate the men who did the zombie and...
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our brave volunteers.
Yes.
Demon. And thank you to our awesome, woo! Talented women in horror films, Sydney, Sarah, Amy, and Linnea. Go buy things from them. They're in there. Buy them.
But it's now the people in the horror panel.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, the
horror.
They are now
horror.
People.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
A big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have appeared.